Starting this season, the National Symphony Orchestra has a new music director, but this man is no stranger to the orchestra. Let's listen to him conducting the NSO in November of 2016 as it performs Romeo and Juliet. Joining us and listening to this very critically is the man holding the baton, who's not only tasked with making the NSO as relevant as it can be in his hometown, but also with making it a player on the global stage. He joins us in studio. Gianandre Nozeda is the music director for the National Symphony Orchestra. Gianandrea Nozeda is the national director, music director for the National Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Your career in music has taken you all over the world. What does it mean for you to be leading an orchestra right now based here in Washington?
But first of all, Washington, D.C. is the capital of a great country. The orchestra is called National Symphony Orchestra. It's not the Washington Symphony Orchestra. So in a way, there is this name national in front of Symphony Orchestra, which makes me think how important is my task here. And secondly, the orchestra has a huge potential. All the players and the artists of the orchestra, they want to perform in the frame of the Kennedy Center, which is one of the best art performing center in the world. So I think it's a critically important position to be here and to serve this country and this orchestra as a music director.
Before we go any farther in this conversation, can you explain for us what exactly a music director does?
A music director has the music responsibility in an orchestra, how the orchestra should develop in terms of how to play a certain music, how to be flexible approaching different repertoires. And also part of the job of music director is to hire new players when someone is retiring. So in a way is shaping an orchestra playing with the music ideas of the music director.
If you have questions or comments for Gianandrea Nozeda, give us a call, 800-433-8850. Have you seen the National Symphony Orchestra perform? If not, what has kept you away? What would convince you to go to a concert? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org or shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show. You can go to our website, kojoshow.org, join the conversation there. At the start of this segment, we heard you conducting the NSO, so you're familiar with the orchestra. What's your take on it? What are its strengths? What are its weaknesses, if any?
But there are not weaknesses. There are a lot of strengths. We have, as a challenge, we have to be incredibly consistent in the quality we deliver in the concert, and we have to share and spread a huge amount of energy. I think the same level of energy a rock singer has in a rock concert. So I think In the 1, 2, 3 programs, 4 programs I conducted with the NSO, always I've been fascinated and very well impressed by the technical skills of the players. I think it's just question to perform and not to make the orchestra to be seen as something detached by the community in Washington, but as a vital component of the life of the city.
Well, you mentioned that it is not the Washington Symphony Orchestra, it is the National Symphony Orchestra, and that name implies national prominence, but its reputation sometimes falls beneath other big city American orchestras in places like Cleveland, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Last year, Ann Midget, the chief classical music critic for the Washington Post, said the orchestra was, and I'm quoting here, lackluster, haunted by the curse of mediocrity. She put forward a few hypotheses as to why this might be happening. What's yours? Why does the NSO's reputation seem to fall slightly below orchestras in other major American cities?
But, you know, there are, in all the orchestras in the world, in their lives, there are up moments and down moments. So I think it's not... not correct, but it's not really true to say, oh, that orchestra is always under a certain level, or that orchestra is always up a certain level. I have to say there are very important orchestras. The fame is huge, but the quality of playing sometimes is not according with the fame they have, or sometimes not considered top qualities orchestra. They can deliver fantastic concerts. The point is to be consistent. That to be recognized as a consistent, to deliver always consistent quality in the concerts. So in my experience with the artists of NSO, I think they always gave everything in the concert. The passion was there, the technical abilities. I mean, just to play the right notes in the right time, with the right intonation, with the right balance. And of course, the work of the music director is this, to keep the motivation very high.
On to the telephones. Here now is Lisa in Washington, D.C. Lisa, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Coach, or good afternoon, Kojo and Jean-André. Welcome to D.C. I'm the executive director of the D.C. Arts and Humanities Education Collaborative. I'm actually calling today. All Whole Foods stores are donating 5% of purchases to support equitable access to arts and humanities for D.C. students. And I wanted to talk a bit about what it means to be the National Symphony Orchestra serving local D.C. audience. Equitable access is very important to the work of the collaborative, and for 20 years we've been proud to work with the NSO in providing these transformative performance opportunities. Perhaps, Jean-André, could you talk a little bit about how you would like to continue to reach our youngest citizens here in the district?
Jean-André.
Thank you, Liz. I think the important thing is not only to perform in our places, but also to try to bring the music where youngsters, where the people live. So we have already a program which is called In Your Neighborhood, and once I just was there, you know, in the restaurants, in the schools, in the squares, I just invent in the hospitals. This is something also I started to do in the opera house in Turin, where I serve as a music director already from 10 years, just to bring the music in the hospitals, to bring music in the university. So try to bring the music where people are and where people live. And I think this is the way to get in contact with the youngsters and with everybody who wants to attend classical music. I think go to them, and when you want to invite them to the symphony hall, just invite them, just come and see, more than philosophical elements or sentences, just come and see. If you feel any energy, if you feel any interesting element, you will be happy, you will come back. I think this is the way and the path we want to walk in.
Lisa, thank you very much for your call. The audiences at classical music concerts are notoriously a little older, white, and wealthy. They certainly don't reflect the diversity of a place like Washington. In recent years, the NSO has sought to expand its audience and to dispel the kind of stuffy stereotype that so many orchestras have. One example is its pop series that pairs the orchestra with famous artists from other genres, like rapper Kendrick Lamar.
Landlord said these walls vacant more than a minute. These walls are vulnerable. Exclamation, interior pink, color coordinated. I interrogated every nook and cranny. I mean, it's still amazing, before they couldn't stand me. These walls wanna cry tears. These walls happier when I'm here. These walls never go hold up. Time I come around, demolition might crush. Hey! I can feel your rain.
Kendrick Lamar performing with the NSO. That was back in 2015. As the new music director, how do you plan to get a more diverse audience of Washingtonians listening? Obviously, you mentioned you have to go where people are, and there are venues around town that you'll probably exploit in order to do that.
I think what is important is just not to make to put the music in different boxes. Oh, this is the rock music, this is the rap music, this is the classical music, this is the opera. I think music, if I have to make sort of division, I will put good music and bad music, just to make it clear. What is important is to offer a variety of things. So there is classical music, great classical music. There is not fantastic classical music. There is fantastic rap music or rock music. What we have to establish as a classical performer, basically classical performer, is just not to lose that kind of energy a rapper has or a rock star has when he's presenting his music. And at the same time, to be flexible enough sometimes to join a singer with a good music and to play with them. I think we have to approach this topic from different angles.
Our guest is Jean-Andrea Nozeda. He is the music director of the National Symphony Orchestra. We're going to take a break, but if you have questions or comments for Jean-Andrea, give us a call, 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Do you consider the NSO to be an important part of the local community? What could it do to better engage with Washingtonians? What can orchestras do to diversify their audience, which, as we mentioned, is often older and white? 800-433-8850. I'm Kojo Namdi. Welcome back. Our guest is Jean-Andrea Nozeda. He is the music director of the National Symphony Orchestra. Taking your questions at 800-433-8850. Jean-Andrea, what does it mean for a city to have a truly great orchestra? What do great orchestras bring to places that make you want to go there?
Oh, this is an interesting question. I think an important city should have a great orchestra. I think being not only an important city but a capital of a big country, you should have a great orchestra, and you have already a great orchestra in the city. And I think when there is a great orchestra in any city, that is a good element to invite people from outside to come and visit the city. That happens in Europe, it happens in America, it happens in Japan, I think all over the world. So I think the two things should go together. It's important the city, it's important the orchestra, and the two things can cooperate to make the city and the music life of the city even more intriguing and more challenging.
How important is a music director to an orchestra's success? How much do you do from your position? After all, you're not the one actually playing the music.
I'm just waving my hands, of course. But with my hands, I can give the timing, the rhythm, the balance. I can shape the phrases of the music. But you know what? I'm not probably the right person to say what I should do here. We should see the result in a few years' time. But I'm very confident because I had already the feeling under my fingertips of the quality we can produce. I just insist. There is a lot of energy coming from the stage. I want to communicate this energy to the audience. So what does a music director? Has a lot of responsibilities, but first of all, should share his enormous love for music.
We got an email from Patsy who says, we are regular NSO attendees and are thrilled that Maestro Nozeda is leading the orchestra. We already attended his performances and immediately noticed a difference in the quality, and I'll assume that difference meant an improvement in the quality. Mm-hmm. Onto the telephones, here is Paul in Arlington, Virginia. Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is a reaction to the review you quoted where Anne Majette used the word lackluster to describe the NSO. I think, unfortunately, Anne Majette has been in the habit of making exaggerated criticisms of the National Symphony, I think partly to attract attention to herself and partly, frankly, maybe to justify her job. Because after all, if every week she simply said the National Symphony played excellently this week, which I think would be pretty close to the truth, then that would make the editors at the Post wonder, well, why should we have a weekly review of the NSO if it's great every week? And one thing that bothers me about
that... So you're suggesting that adverse criticism is what validates her job?
I think she sees it that way, yes. And she tends to exaggerate her criticisms. And I'm bothered by the thought that there might be some people who maybe don't know a whole lot about the National Symphony, maybe not even a whole lot about classical music, and are on the fence about whether to go to a National Symphony concert or not. And they've read Anne Majette's reviews, and they say to themselves, well, Washington doesn't have that very good a symphony orchestra, so we'll just stay away.
And you think that that would be the really wrong thing to do?
I think so. I've gone many times to the National Symphony, and I've always been pleased. So,
Earl, did you see me perform Peter and the Wolf with the National Symphony at the Lincoln Theater a few years ago?
I missed that, unfortunately.
Well, you missed nothing at all, because it happened, but I wasn't that good. Thank you very much for your call. On now to Jeffrey in Oberlin, Ohio. Jeffrey, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Kojo. I'm living in Ohio, but I'm a D.C. native, and I love your show, and I've listened to it for years, and I welcome Maestro Noseda to D.C. I've had the honor of working with the National Symphony twice under the directorship of Maestro Slatkin, and I just wanted to ask the music director about his commitment to American music, which was a strong component of Maestro Slatkin's approach to the orchestra, and also composers of color, because it is located in Washington, D.C. The demographics are such, still, I think it's very important component and the idea of classical music and reaching audiences, a diverse audience, broadening the scope of what it does. I think it's very important to champion this work, which is very much under-championed.
Well, you should know that the NSO is opening its season on Sunday with a performance celebrating the 100th birthday of composer Leonard Bernstein, the man who wrote the music for West Side Story.
Yep,
but I'll let Maestro Noseda respond to the question himself.
Oh, of course, I am a big lover of the American music or American composers. I remember one of my first season in my activity as a conductor, getting back 20 and more years ago, I just conducted in Milan a complete American program, including the symphonic dances from West Side Story and Candide Ouverture, which is part of the program I'm going to conduct next Sunday as a opening gala season. And I remember last January, I conducted a complete American program with music by John Williams and Aaron Copland and Bernstein, the fanfare for the inauguration of JFK. So Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue. So I really love American music. I'm very open. I don't have any kind of program or problems to explore music for any composer, women composers, white, yellow, black. I think music is something very, very democratic. That means if someone has a talent to write a good music, that gets absolutely my 100% attention. If I have time to learn it, I will, of course, present to the audience.
And you'll be conducting the show on Sunday with Yo-Yo Ma, featured on cello. Let's listen a bit to the overture from Candide, which will open the program. Okay, we'll cut away because the maestro is starting to dance in the room and here with us. Here's Catherine in Glendale, Maryland. Catherine, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo, and welcome to DC to your guests. I just wanted to say that the NSO is a real treasure, and my child had an opportunity to participate in the Young Associates Program And what was really wonderful about that was not only the engagement with the musicians and the conductor, but they show the kids behind the scenes the business of an orchestra, the administrative offices, the marketing, the library, and other functions. So I think the platform for your guest to talk about his role, and you've asked great questions about what he does, but continuing to expose our young people to the wide array of opportunities that are available in the music arena at this level. And hopefully that kind of programming will continue. But again, welcome to Washington. Your creativity and your enthusiasm and your breadth of experience are really impressive, and it's exciting to hear about the kinds of things you're going to be focusing on during your tenure.
Care to comment?
I think we have a fantastic team working and preparing many things for me and for the orchestra in the big frame of the Kennedy Center. I think the educational part, just to bring to the kids or to the youngsters, is something very, very important and crucial. And I know there are people in the organization of the NSO taking a huge care of it, and I'm be ready when the conditions, when something is ready, and my presence will be needed to be enthusiastically there. I think to communicate the values of music, to listen to the music, to make music, even clapping the hands or singing, is crucial for a formation of any person, even if they will not become professional, but just to enjoy an important part of life.
Thank you very much for your call. We got an email from James in Dulles, Virginia. My wife and I attended the performance in November, and I was stunned. At the end of the second movement, I just wanted to scream bravo, but everyone else was quiet. What's the proper protocol? Withhold ovations until the end of the performance? Or is it okay to appreciate during the performance?
Oh, I'm very open. I think the composers, when they finish the movement of a symphony, they wanted to get applause. and they got the applause in at the premiere, the world premiere of their pieces. So I think this kind of, let's say, orthodox way, so-called orthodox way to attend concerts should be a little bit broken. If someone wants to applaud, of course not within a movement. But at the end of a movement, if someone is overwhelmed by the highest temperature we can get with our performance, why not to applaud? I think the life in the halls, in our places, should be more normal and more simple. If you want to applaud, do it. And probably your applause will lead others to applaud or to cheer. Should not be the other way around. The people who doesn't want to applaud because they know perfectly how the symphony is done, how you should behave. I'm not saying they are wrong, but I'm not even saying you are wrong if you feel to applaud. Feel free, and if you don't feel to applaud or someone wants to wait at the end of the performance, it's fine. If you want to applaud after a second movement, let's say, do it. Anyway, you will be appreciated.
And Perry in Washington, D.C. has what Perry thinks might be a challenge for you. Perry, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. We only have about 2 minutes left. Perry, are you there?
My name's Tony. Sorry. Can you hear me, Hotojo?
Yep, we can.
Hi. Thank you for letting me on the air. I'll be brief. And welcome, Maestro. And I just to address the upbeat rock concert, I was fortunate enough to see two shows at Strathmore Hall this summer by the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. And it was almost over the top with the amount of energy that the conductor's name I can't recall, sorry, was almost demanding the applause between movements. But it did generate a lot of energy. But what my question for the maestro is it ever possible to do some sort of, in a jazz vein, conducted improvisation?
Fascinating question.
Oh, very fascinating. Jazz is made by improvisation, the jam session, and that's it, that all these kind of things. Of course, to combine jazz element in the symphonic frame is a little bit more difficult. But for instance, in the program I conducted in January with Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin is the perfect example how to combine in the big cadenzas of the piano, which has element of improvisation and not improvised part for the orchestra, but how to combine the things. That was a perfect example how we can achieve that, those kind of things. I remember years ago conducting in London at the Proms, we commissioned to a composer a piece where three or four moments were absolutely improvised by the soloists, and that is also possible to combine jazz and classical music, exact music with improvisation. I hope you will find many occasions for that, and I will promise we will look to serve this dish to all the audience.
Gianandrea Noseda is the music director of the National Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget to meet us back here tomorrow. We'll be exploring how schools around the area handled their approaches to discipline and where suspensions fit into that equation. That's at noon tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schroepsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, and Avery Kleinman. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.